I'm Karen Given, and I know it's going to surprise you, but we've got a Super Bowl story to start this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know. I'm joined by Bleacher Report's Miren Fader and The Athletic's Michael Lee. Welcome back to both of you.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, glad to always be here.
I've seen a lot of Super Bowl coverage this week that seems to be suggesting that this year's Super Bowl is less super than previous editions. There have been headlines like, isn't the Super Bowl supposed to be fun? That one was from Deadspin. Apparently, the issue is that one of the teams plays in the big game too often, and the other is still rebuilding its fan base after relocating again. Journalists were complaining last year that Minnesota was too damn cold for a super celebration. So I'm kind of wondering, has it just been a bad couple of years for the Super Bowl? Has the Super Bowl lost some of its luster? Or maybe the Super Bowl is still just as super as it always has been, and it's just that sports journalists are, in general, relatively grumpy people who like to complain a lot. Miren, what do you think?
Wow, that last part. Can't say I can confirm that one, but I definitely think, you know, people will still tune in. People are still excited. But I definitely think there's so many other issues going on outside of the Super Bowl that make it so hard to enjoy the game, whether it's the treatment of Kaepernick, officiating, domestic violence, and not to mention all the stuff with CTE and head trauma. There's just so many issues that make it difficult to watch as a fan.
Yeah, and I think that the NFL has sort of hurt itself in a lot of ways because, you know, the team that everyone's tired of being in the Super Bowl, the Patriots, have sort of built this reputation as being the villains but also being the cheaters. So the league has punished them. They've taken away draft picks. Tom Brady's been suspended. So there's this cloud of suspicion around this team that's always there winning. If you're telling the public that this team that's always here is tainted, it's hard to get behind it and rally behind it because otherwise you got a 41-year-old quarterback, you know, who's defying Father Time. This team that's just always there, like this should be something that's glorified and praised. But I think that the NFL constantly punishing the Patriots and actually the Patriots actually doing dirt, I think it makes it harder for fans to get behind them. And that's why they're one of the most despised teams. It's like it's easy to root against the villain, but you don't enjoy it when the villain always wins.
Michael, I just have to step in on behalf of all my fellow Patriots fans. We are not cheaters. We have been treated unfairly.
Oh, yeah, of course. And you're the underdogs, too. No one believes in you.
No one ever believed in the Patriots. No one ever believes.
They're so gritty.
But I do agree with this one thing, is that the NFL just can't seem to get out of its way on any of these issues, right? Like, not on the fact that everyone still believes that the Saints should be in the Super Bowl. They can't get out of their own way on domestic violence or on Kaepernick or any of the big issues facing the league right now. And it does, Miren, I'm with you, it does make it kind of hard to just sit back and eat your guacamole and enjoy the game.
And the commercials come on, you know, a week in advance, so who needs to watch the game when you already get your Doritos commercial?
I've seen it all already. Why bother? All right, Michael, what do you have for us?
You know, this week, the NBA decided that it was going to try to show up the Super Bowl with its own brand of news, with Anthony Davis, one of the arguably five best players in the NBA, declaring that he wanted out and he wanted to be traded. It started a whole round of speculation about just the NBA in general and if superstars should do this to their franchises by publicly declaring that they want to leave. I think the one thing that comes away from this is that you can't make anybody stay. The Beatles always said money can't buy you love, but it also can't buy you a forever commitment either. And NBA owners have sort of created this dilemma over time of trying to provide incentives to make sure that players don't go. They created a luxury tax that penalized teams that spent too much. A few years later, one of the small market teams, Oklahoma City, for fear of losing out, you know, with the luxury tax, let James Harden, they traded James Harden in free agency, and that wound up hurting the small market team that was on the track to win a championship but still hasn't won. A few years later, they wound up losing Kevin Durant. And then they reacted to that because he went to the Golden State Warriors and created more incentives to keep players in by providing the thing called the Supermax to pay players more money so that they'll stay. It's backfired because now teams don't want to hand out these huge contracts to players, so they wind up trading them beforehand. And players like Anthony Davis, who have outside endorsements or desires to do other things, are balking at the opportunity to make $80 or so million more. So I guess my question is, what should a league do to try to keep players, or should they just accept the fact that the only thing that's going to keep them around is just having competent front office and a winning culture, other than just bribing guys for their loyalty?
Yeah, I think the concept of loyalty, how can that even exist anymore? You know, I'm with you on this. It's so hard to keep people, but I think it really speaks to how much agency players have, how much ownership they have over their own futures. You know, I think that we're really moving away from this era of owners and players speaking out and just even like a comment on Twitter. I mean, I think they're just determining where they want to go in a lot of senses, at least making it known. I just wonder how it is as a reporter for you to keep track of all this. I'm just looking at my Twitter feed and feeling incredibly overwhelmed. And this is when everybody lies about the sources they have. So, I mean, how is that for you? How is this week going for you?
I always say, just don't believe anyone while their lips are moving. Like, you know, as long as they're not actually saying anything, they're trying to tell you the truth. But it just makes it for a lot of fun. And I think that's sort of what's generated a lot of interest in the league and why it's become such a popular sport. Because there is always the possibility that your team may be able to snatch away some promising player from somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, I really think there's an incredibly, incredibly simple way to keep your superstars. You ready? Just win games. Win them all. Just win all the games. Or at least make all the roster moves necessary to show that you want to win and you're willing to do what it takes to win. Because there is a maximum that you can really pay these players at this point. And I don't really see the owners getting together and deciding we're just going to pay them what the market will bear. They might have a better chance of keeping their superstars then, but I think they would then have trouble filling out the rest of their roster because they wouldn't have any money left.
Yeah, all the money go to one guy and he's got to basically do all the scoring. That's what Anthony Davis was doing. That's kind of
I mean, is there any solution to this? Because the way you present it, every time the league tries to make a change to keep this from happening, they only make it worse.
I think they're providing the wrong incentive. You can't just throw money on a situation and expect that to solve it. And like you said, you know, having competence, having an organization that knows how to build a team and can establish a winning culture, that seems to be what keeps players around. I mean, you can actually change the culture if you just make the right decisions. You draft well, you develop your young talent, and you don't have a lot of time to slip up.
Mirren, it's your turn.
Yeah, I wrote a story this week for Bleacher Report's BR Mag on Sabrina Ionescu, and she plays for Oregon, and everyone might know her as the triple-double record holder. She's now the leading triple-double record holder in both men and women. People compare her to Westbrook, even though she has no similarities to him, not athletic, but what she has is her mind. She's so smart. She's so intelligent. But what the article was really about is how sometimes her mind is almost too hard on herself. She's a perfectionist to the core. She can't sleep. She is so hard on herself to the point where, you know, it's infectious in the entire locker room. She's hard on her teammates. And that's the thing that makes her great. It's the thing that makes her go. It's her drive. But it's also the thing that kind of really tears her up as well. And so I really want to write it because it kind of begs the question, you know, how much is too much? Is this healthy? I think a lot of great players have that drive, have that perfectionism, but it is such a game within a game almost. Managing your mind.
Yeah, I honestly just think that when it comes to great athletes, they're going to be quirky and they're going to have things that they're obsessive about. You know, checking out your story, I was thinking about Ray Allen, and just like he was a guy that was always obsessive about how he shaved his head and his whole routine and, you know, washing his hands and like all these things that, you know, might think would make him crazy, but it also is what made him great. And I think that she wouldn't be getting these triple doubles and she wouldn't even attract his attention if she wasn't so hard on herself. I think that's sort of just the cost of greatness, is that you're going to have something that's a little off about you. And you just got to find a way to balance that. And hopefully she can find the success that she's seeking, you know, with this. But I just think that's sort of the price of greatness, is that you're going to be a little weird.
Well, Mirren, when I first started reading your profile, I was reminded of another piece I read this week. It was by Karen Krause of the New York Times about Gracie Gold, the figure skater. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you read it, but she was slated to be the favorite in the 2018 Olympics and then instead spent the year dealing with some pretty serious mental health problems. And I found myself, when I was reading your piece on Sabrina, I found myself thinking about something Gracie Gold said. She was explaining why her twin sister had never become a champion figure skater. And she said, quote, "She didn't cross those lines that needed to be crossed to be an elite athlete. She didn't push past the border of being normal and into the realm of insanity." Mm-hmm. And I don't at all want to say that Sabrina is insane, but I feel like there's a parallel here.
Yeah, that's a great quote. There is. You have to have that insanity in you. And I think it should be kind of normalized a bit. I mean, I don't think people understand what it takes to compete at that level, the insane focus that you need to have and confidence in yourself. But there is also this level of doubt that I think is very common in a lot of these athletes. So it's kind of weird for me when people have this assumption that athletes are really arrogant, egotistical, because, you know, when you get down to it and they're pushing themselves to an extreme, insane level, you have to have doubt. It's just part of it. You encounter failure every day. So I think it's the, you know, the 1% of athletes that know how to kind of manage that insanity and use it to their advantage.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Bleacher Report's Maren Fader and The Athletic's Michael Lee. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Gardner Kellogg has been mountain biking for the better part of 4 decades. He and his friends made their own trails wherever they wanted.
We'd just go into the woods and start clearing away to get from one point to another, by hook or by crook.
But these pirate trails have caused some serious problems. That's coming up on Only a Game from NPR.